Welcome, friends. I'm just so happy that you've joined us, and I'm Donella Hunt, and I'm so honored to teach our class on Renew Your Mind. We're on session 5 now, and we've been sharing together how to cooperate with God in the transformation that He wants to do in each one of us by the renewing of our mind. And it's my desire that we will move beyond just seeing the scripture or even the truth of scripture to an understanding of how to apply the truth that we discover in scripture, that we will hear it and read it and then apply it. And it's my heart and passion to equip God's people in any way I can to help them fulfill God's destiny that He has designed for each one of us. What an exciting, exciting future to look forward to as we begin to follow even more closely God's destiny for us. I want you to also understand as well that if you have not seen all of this series, we do have it on our church website, and that will be at the end of the program here. You'll get an address there, and it's on our church website, and you can find it. And it'll be there for you. I know I pack a lot of information, and I'm sure it's difficult to get it all the first time. So bless you all, and here we go. Last week, we considered the question, what is God's part in my transformation, and what is my part? And we used this illustration of a carpenter who was building forms, getting ready for the cement to be poured in to these forms. And we know that when the cement is poured in, the cement hardens, and then we take the boards away, and we have a firm foundation there. The wooden forms in our illustration represent our part in the transformation process. The believer, however, does not work patience and kindness and love into ourselves. He or she simply constructs this outward form into which God pours the real thing. Remember the woman in our illustration began to show her difficult neighbor acts of kindness and consideration as she was choosing, remember, the boards for her frame. She was anticipating what God would do as He would later fill her frame with the real thing. She, like all of us, received this instruction, and let's look at Colossians 3, 12 through 14. That's Colossians 3, 12 through 14, and you know I love the Amplified Bible, so I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, His own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God Himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another, and if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. So we're instructed here then to put on godly attitudes, to put on godly behavior, as well as to put on love. Just as we would put on a piece of clothing. When we get up in the morning, we think about, okay, what do I need to put on? Now, normally we're going to our closet, getting our clothes. But spiritually speaking, there are other things that we need to think about putting on. as we move into our day. Now, another portion of Scripture that calls us to put on something is Romans 13, 12 through 14. The night is far gone and the day is almost here. Let us then drop or fling away the works and deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day, not in reveling, carousing, and drunkenness, not in immorality and debauchery, sensuality and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil craving of your physical nature to gratify its desires or lusts. Now, in this passage, then, we're to put on the full armor of light and are to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ray Stedman, in his commentary of this verse, says this: "When I get up in the morning, I put on my clothes, intending them to be part of me all day, to go where I go, do what I do. They cover me and make me presentable to others, and that is the purpose of clothes." In the same way, the apostle is saying to us, put on Jesus Christ when you get up in the morning. Make him a part of your life that day. Intend that he go with you wherever you go, and that he act through you in everything you do. Call upon his resources. Live your life in Christ. Then another commentary by West tells us that this means to put on as a garment, to use as a garment to clothe or to dress. It is the putting on of ethical, moral, or spiritual garments like Christ himself, like the armor of light, like the new self, like the breastplate of faith and love, or like those garments which are imperishable and immortal. What a wardrobe God has made available for believers. We are the best dressed folk in the world, and most of us don't even know it. Now, whether you see this garment as kind of an outer garment or just a covering like our regular clothing that we wear, the point is that this clothing, spiritual clothing, is a point of identification. And we will be identified by this garment. I liken it to perhaps a uniform, a military or law enforcement, or perhaps a firefighter or service workers. Their uniforms tell you who they are and what they do. And you immediately identify them from other people. So in the military, we've all heard stories that the uniform is worn and has a very strict code of conduct that is expected of people when they have that military uniform on. They're representing the military, and they're representing our country. And whatever they do, they cannot dishonor either one. So their uniforms represent valor, integrity, and honor. You know, I was reading just the other day that there was some impending legislation to protect the integrity of the military. And it seems that there were some retired military personnel that were misusing their uniforms to receive special favors and discounts that they did not qualify for because, of course, they weren't presently in the military. And part of the piece of this legislation was called stolen valor. Now, that's how seriously the military takes the use of that uniform. So we know that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we're still very imperfect and in need of shaping and molding. And you know, we've said over and over, that's what this sanctification process is all about. It's the ongoing work of transformation. And God is committed to transforming us. And as we find in our key scriptures, it happens by the renewing of our mind. That's part of the process. So I'm certain that when a young person enlists in the military, there are many things that they still need to know about this job and the conduct that's expected of them. But meanwhile, they are wearing the uniform. And hopefully they will honor and protect that uniform so that our country is not disgraced. And just so as believers, as we put on Jesus Christ, as we put on godly behavior, we will allow the Holy Spirit to protect us from dishonoring our testimony. Now, as we build this outward form of faith that God will fill, God takes the responsibility then for replacing the desire of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. We do the outward and the temporary work, and God does the inward and the lasting work. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21 says this, "And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with all you need for doing his will." I absolutely love that phrase. May God equip you with all you need for doing his will. What is it you need? I want you to think about that. What is it you need to do his will? May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, all that is pleasing to him. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, by an everlasting covenant signed with his blood. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we need to understand then that the power of Jesus Christ, that it's the power that does the changing. It's the power of Jesus Christ in us that produces the change. I cannot say that too often. It is the power of Jesus Christ working in us that does the changing. He equips us with everything we need to do his will. And this understanding, the reason it's important we understand this, is it lifts the load off of us, because we no longer need to be caught up in the hopeless task of trying to beat ourselves up while we try to submit to our will. Be more loving, Donzie, for Pete's sake. I mean, what's the matter with you? Quit those unkind thoughts. Be patient. Do you ever want to be a truly spirit-controlled believer? Then you better shape up. No, we need to bypass all of that condemning conversation we have with ourselves. All of that name-calling can be set aside as we just quietly turn the whole inner work of our heart completely over to God. We simply construct the outer forms. We do what we know we can do, in other words, in the expression of our faith, whatever that might be, and let the heart be shaped according to his will by his Spirit. Now here's a very important sentence. Our heart will not and cannot submit to our will. Our heart will not and cannot submit to our will. The heart can be changed only by the Holy Spirit. So you can make all the lists you want about how you want your behavior to change, all of the New Year's resolutions that you want, but your will not be able to bring about the changes. You and I will need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to make the lasting change in our hearts that needs to be changed. So when we don't understand this truth, we're going to be constantly struggling with our will, trying to manage and control our own renewal that God wants to bring about. So if we can understand this truth, it will free us from feeling that the spiritual work that God wants to do in us is our responsibility. Now, I'm not saying that we don't do anything. You know, we've talked about those outward expressions that we do need to participate in. But it is God that works in us. And so we just step aside and we surrender to his working in us, and it will be done. Stubbornness goes. Insecurities go. The protectiveness that we like to put over our own self, as if God were somehow intruding on our life. That all has to go. And we open our hearts willingly and lovingly and let God change us. Now, we've tried to emphasize from the very beginning of our study that we do not need to be enslaved to what we feel or what we want at any given moment. We do not walk by our feelings. We do not walk by our wants. We walk by faith as believers. We believe that as we submit and conform our lives to the will of God in all of those outward expressions, to the best of our ability, he will then gradually conform our feelings and our wants to harmonize with his feelings and wants. We don't have to suppress or deny our feelings. No, this is not about denying feelings. We just control their outward expression. In other words, we control their outward expression and we give them to God. In other words, we don't express everything that pops into our head. No, it's just our feeling. And we don't have to deny that we're struggling. And we may have a feeling, but we don't have to verbalize it. We don't have to give it room to grow or room to defeat us. We just give it over. Say, God, I know that what I'm feeling here is not right. I know that something is off here. So I want to commit this feeling to you, and I want you to help me. I want you to help me to not be controlled by the flesh. I want to know that you're at work in my life, and I'm going to continue to believe that you will place in me what I really need of your divine nature. Now, whether this happens in 2 days, 2 months, you know, 6 weeks, whatever, the God of peace will himself, the scripture says, sanctify you wholly. That's wholly, holy, and he who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Let's read that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. See, that's exciting. That says there's just nothing that I'm coping with, that I'm struggling with, that God cannot bring change in my life to handle that conflict, that war that I'm having with my own self. God will help us in that battle and absolutely keep us blameless, the Bible says. Now, in the Message Bible, that same scripture, it says this: may God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. I love that scripture. If he said it, he'll do it. Be willing to receive it. Be open to receive it. Have that surrendered heart to receive it. If he said it, he will do it. So as we get ourselves out of the way and out of the control of our feelings, we're free then to follow and fulfill God's plan for our heart and our lives. God has plans to show us about future building projects. We're going to make our little forms, and we're going to begin to act out whatever God has put in our heart, that behavior, those attitudes that are godly. We're going to be expressing those now, and he will direct us as we select those actions and attitudes and behaviors. Then he will pour his divine nature into that. And then you and I will be moving forward in an even greater measure in this transformation. We will literally be fulfilling the scripture in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So friends, I want to just share now just a few observations just generally about this renewing and transforming process that we're going through. You remember our key scriptures are Romans 12:1-2. And they remind us in verse 1, of course, we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, unfortunately, we know that a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. That's the problem with the living sacrifice. We're not dead and tied up. We can still, if it gets too uncomfortable, there are sacrifices we're going to be making in order to stay there on the altar, ready to serve, ready to worship, ready to give ourselves completely to God. It's not something that we learn overnight. So I'm going to just project that you probably will have, two or three times, you might be crawling off the altar. But you'll get back on there, because that's where we have to be used by God like we want to be used. Verse 2, we're commanded right off the bat to not be conformed to this world. It says, do not. So it's not a choice, it's a command. Do not be conformed to this world. And then here's another command. But be transformed. See, this is not an option either. This is not a, well, I don't know if I really want to go through this whole renewing of my mind thing. It seems so hard. I don't know that this transformation will, hey, you know, if God wants to transform me, then he can just transform me. Well, guess what, guys? That's not quite how it works. We have to give up and give over to God for this transformation. So that's a command as well. Be transformed. But here's the payoff. Then, as a reward, it says, you'll be able then to prove what the will of God is for you. So our determination and courage in following the instruction of these verses will be, of course, challenged by the enemy, because we are in a battle. We know that. To disregard that is foolish. And we need to be educated and understand opposition will come. So it will require our daily involvement to be effective. So what will happen in this transformation? There'll be a removing of the old customs, the old ideas, and the behaviors of the world. And in their place, we will be given, as I said, discernment and understanding of what God's purpose is for our life. His voice will become clearer, and the old voices and influences will fade from our lives. And the bottom line, we are not given a choice in this verse. That's what I want to emphasize to you. There is no choice here. The command is we're to conform to God's will and purposes. We're not to conform to the behaviors and customs of the world, and we're to give ourselves to this transformation that God wants to accomplish. You know, I was reading an article the other day in which I discovered, I should have known this, but I guess I had forgotten it, but when the Apollo spacecraft went up into space, they had to make a course correction every 10 minutes. Now, you would have thought that, you know, we wouldn't have had to do that, that they would kind of get on track from the beginning and they would go right to their target, but not so. So they had to make this course correction every 10 minutes. And so they went to the moon in kind of a zigzag pattern. And actually, they just barely made it on the landing zone. And it was a 500-mile designated landing zone that they had determined. And yet, the spacecraft landed on that landing zone with only a few feet to spare. But they all considered the landing and the flight a success. So, you know, you kind of sigh like, wow, that was close. But we need to set a course and make a total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ by being that living sacrifice the scripture tells us about. And the problem with that living sacrifice is there's going to be times when we're going to need to make a course correction. And the Holy Spirit's going to talk to us about that. Nope, nope, nope. I don't want you doing that over there. No, I want you to come over here this way. This is where I want to. You know, and we're going to have to learn how to be flexible and how to be surrendered in what we're doing and listen carefully to the voice of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit directs us. We have to have a heart that says this, God, I want you and I want your way. And no matter how difficult it is, I am committed to pressing on and allowing you to do the work in me that needs to be done. When we look at the cycle of the function of our mind, you remember that cycle. Inputs, processing, our beliefs, and then our behavior. We say to God, God, if there is any area that I need to make a course correction in, please show me, and I will surrender to your direction. And to keep in line with our illustration, in the area of processing, that's where we kind of take all that we are, our history, our personality, our emotions, all of our life's experiences, we stir that up with all the input that's coming in. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to rid us of extra baggage that we're dragging along on our journey. That will make our spaceship unstable for sure and ineffective, perhaps not even allowing us to get off the launching pad. So it's time to be done with all that junk, friends. It's time to be done with it. It's time to put it away. It's time to give it up. It is time to say goodbye and not go back there. Not go back there to all that negative history. Let God give you. Let God give me. I need the freedom from the effects of any negative history that we can all have, but I don't want to bring it to the launching pad. Perhaps we've been weighed down with sorrow, even legitimate sorrow, perhaps, or tragedy or pain. Maybe we've had issues with worldly thinking and maybe some worldly behavior. You name it. God has a deliverance for you. God has a deliverance for me. And is committed, as I've read to you already, to our complete recovery and renewing. And once again, we just simply need to have the heart that says, God, I want you, and I want your way, no matter what. Philippians 4:8 has been the verse that we have referred to several times, in which it outlines for us, the Amplified says it this way, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. Fix your mind on them. Verse 9, practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you. So not only does this scripture outline what we need to fix our minds on, but it makes the point that we choose what we think. Once again, it's a command. It outlines for us what we should be focusing on, and then it commands us. Think on these things. Donzi, think on these things. Get rid of those things and think on these things. You see, there's no option here, guys. There's no option. God is not careless in his instruction to us, because he knows what it will take for us to be successful as a believer and mightily used of him. He understands the path that we need to be on for that transformation to take place. And so he commands us, you think on these things and discipline your mind, fix your mind on those things. So there we go. And so I want to encourage all of us this evening to believe once again with all your heart that God is well able to help us and making the changes in our lives that we need to make. I'm sure by now that you have bumped up against perhaps some struggles, and you've maybe seen some areas that you're struggling with. And I want to encourage you, don't give up and don't become discouraged. This whole idea of letting God control your thinking, letting God prepare you for your day, clothing you with who he is, clothing you with the attitudes and the attributes of a believer. He is loving, patient, forgiving, and a supernatural God who has a plan for our spiritual growth and success. Not only that, but he believes in us. He believes in us to join with him in accomplishing his will and purposes on this earth. We're not just dangling out here by ourselves. You're going to find in scriptures over and over again that he is working with us in this partnership together, right? Yes. Preach it, Donzi. Personally, and I can't think of a better way to live your life than in complete surrender to God. I know that in our culture right now, for many people that's difficult. But I guess I have lived long enough now to know what the benefits are into the very best of my ability, completely surrendering to God. And for my vote, there is no other way to live. To be used of God is my highest honor and privilege. Now, Paul articulates the plan that God has designed for us and for his people in this following passage that I'm closing with in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. And I would like to just have you really thoughtfully consider these words as Paul tries to explain to us this interaction between God and us, this partnership together to accomplish his purposes. He says, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul, he's barely got off the starting the starting gate here in this passage, and he goes, wow, this plan is so great. This plan is so amazing. This plan in which you are built together in Christ, I can't even imagine it. And so he gets down on his knees. He bows his knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is overcome with the truth that he's been given here by the Holy Spirit. He goes, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. Wow, guys, that is a powerful scripture. May he grant you, I'm reading it again, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell or settle down or abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Notice where the foundation is. That you may have the power, the result of the foundation of love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it, that you may really come to know personally and practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who by or in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far above, far over all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. What a passage. What a passage. We see the love that we come to understand. We must understand God's love. When we come to understand God's love, it equips us for all that we need. One of my prayers has been, and will continue to be, that I will understand God's love. I do think that to truly understand it is almost beyond our human ability. But then, because nothing is impossible with God, I still think he can give us insight and understanding on his love. And that would be my suggestion this week, that we pray consistently that God will reveal to us his love and that we will have a better understanding of it. Because when we do, I believe completely that it will totally change us. We'll be different people. Loved people, if you've ever noticed, act differently than people that are unsure of love. So let's pray that prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you most of all for our salvation. And then I thank you that you go beyond that initial rescue from the damage and destruction and the death of sin. And you rescue us by the blood of Jesus Christ. You give us eternal life. You grant us that privilege with heaven our home. But even more so this evening, we want to thank you that you have a plan that invades our life, if we can say it that way, that so enters us and equips us and enables us to become people that we could never be without your help. And we thank you that you're committed to that work that you have begun in us, and you will complete it. You are transforming us, even this evening, by this renewing of our mind, and you're giving us revelation and understanding of these scriptures that we have read. So in Jesus' name, we declare the revelation of your love and the revelation of these scriptures that we have read, so that we can walk in the truth of them. They become more than words on a page. They become a truth that we can cling to, and by faith we can live it out. So we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray your peace, your comfort, and your enabling will rest upon every home that's represented. And I thank you that as we come, even though we can't see each other, we're coming into agreement together. And we're coming into agreement that we will become who you've called us to be. And I thank you for that now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And next week, we will be into session 6. And who knows what that might be. It's going to be good. I've got a few thoughts rolling around, but I don't want to say it definitively because God might change my mind. But thank you for joining us and be blessed tonight.